The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Believe Podcast here on the Buffalo Rumblings family of podcasts. My name is John Boccacino, going to be flying solo for this week's episode of the Believe Podcast. Want to remind you that we love fan engagement. We love hater engagement. So if we put something out there on an episode that you love or that you disagree with, please get involved with us on social media. I am at John Boccacino. You can also tweet at Buff Rumblings once our episode is released out there. We thank you for checking out our thoughts on the Buffalo Bills. And as we are making our way through the offseason, boy, we certainly had a week in Western New York. The Buffalo Bills certainly made headlines and made news on Wednesday in particular. As everybody knows who's listened to this episode, the Bills have been in a position of salary cap hell heading into the offseason. In fact, the Bills had a cap deficit of more than $40 million. Well, the Buffalo Bills made a slew of roster moves on Wednesday, including saying farewell to three longstanding members of the organization as the team released cornerback Tre'Davious White, safety Jordan Poyer, and center Mitch Morse. Those were three staples of Buffalo's starting lineup, but more importantly, they were staples of the team's locker room. We know how much head coach Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean value character guys, and Trey, Jordan, and Mitch were definitely glues of that locker room. And the Bills also said goodbye to wide receiver Deontay Hardy, special teamer slash cornerback Saran Neal, and running back Nyheim Hines. The team wasn't done, though, with those six releases. They also did a simple restructure with cornerback Rasul Douglas's contract. Of course, Douglas was probably the best deadline acquisition that was made leading up to the NFL's trade deadline last year. The Bills got him from the Green Bay Packers. And then Buffalo made one more move, restructuring the contract of pass rusher Von Miller, who entering Wednesday had the third highest cap hit on the roster. Well, he is now the third highest cap hit no longer after taking a big pay cut. So all told, wild and wacky Wednesday, the Bills cleared roughly $47.6 million in cap space. And here's how they did it. Tre'Davious White being released will bring them $10.2 million in cap relief, but not quite yet. That is a post-June 1st cut, meaning that the Bills cannot count that $10.2 million as cap space that they have to spend now. They will have it June 1st, but not now. The rest of the moves take place effective immediately. With Poyer being released, the team freed up $5.5 million in cap space. With center Mitch Morse being cut, $8.5 million in cap space was created. Saran Neal had a $2.9 million cap relief gain for the Buffalo Bills. Deontay Hardy brought on $4.2 million. Nyheim Hines had a $5 million in cap relief. The Rasul Douglas contract restructure brought $2.5 million in cap relief, and the Von Miller pay cut gave the Bills $8.6 million in cap space. Now, those moves right there, again, you cannot include Trey White's savings on the figure. The Bills did clear $47.6 million, but they only have $37.6 million in available cap space thanks to the Trey White cut being post-June 1st. But the Bills did free up $1.4 million more in cap space by dealing away Ryan Bates to the Chicago Bears, and they got $3.7 million in cap relief by restructuring the contract of starting guard Connor McGovern, who is going to be moving to center, but we'll get to that in a little bit with the Mitch Morse move. So together with all those moves, the $42.7 million in savings gets the Bills near cap compliance as they head into next week, and free agency and the league year starts on March 13th. And of course, there's still one more move to go as we are all expecting a Josh Allen contract restructure sometime in the near future. Everything I've read says that will free up roughly $23 million in cap space. So this week on the Bill Eve podcast, we're really going to discuss the end of an era for the Buffalo Bills, how Wednesday's news of these cuts of players who have been mainstays and fan favorites serves as a harsh reminder that the NFL is, above all else, a business, how the release of Trey White, Jordan Poyer, and Mitch Morse brought back memories for both myself and many Bills fans of Black Thursday, and why, at the end of the day, all of these moves really were necessary for general manager Brandon Bean to make. For Buffalo Bills fans old enough, like myself, to remember 2000, the moves that the Bills made on Wednesday were eerily reminiscent of Black Thursday. For fans who are not old enough to remember that fateful day, it was February 10th of the year 2000. We were all getting over the Y2K fear. Look that up if you're not quite familiar with Y2K hysteria. But you know, for the Bills, they only made it 41 days into the year 2000 before they had their own fears to deal with. And that day, February 10th, 2000, was really the day that signified the end of the greatest decade in the history of the Bills franchise. Buffalo had to say goodbye to three future Hall of Famers on the same day: defensive end Bruce Smith, running back Thurman Thomas, and wide receiver Andre Reed. All of these moves were made to get the Bills cap compliant. Those Bills legends were the face of the franchise. They were the final remaining members of the team who happened to have played in all four of the Super Bowls during the early to mid-90s dynasty. I remember being shocked when Buffalo announced they were waiving Bruce, Thurman, and Andre. After all, those were three of the best players to ever wear a Bills jersey. If they could be cut, then nobody was safe. And I really think at that moment, I realized that the NFL was a business more than it was a fun game. And the cold, hard facts of doing business in the NFL, sometimes it comes down to this: you have difficult roster decisions to make, especially when your team is in salary cap hell, like that team was on that day, February 10th, 2000. The same can be said, and that brings us back to Wednesday's moves. Much like the Black Thursday cuts represented the end of an era, Wednesday's releasings were also the end of an era, as Buffalo is saying goodbye to a pair of captains in Jordan Poyer and Mitch Morse, and cutting Trey White, who was the team's first draft pick under head coach Sean McDermott. White, Poyer, and Morse represented three cornerstone players who were beloved on and off the field. In fact, they were players who played a large role in turning around a floundering Buffalo Bills team that had gone without a playoff appearance for 17 seasons. But those weren't the only losses suffered on Wednesday. Saran Neal had become a special team standout and a valuable depth piece since arriving in 2018. Deonte Hardy made a lasting impression with his clutch punt return touchdown against the Miami Dolphins that helped the Bills win the division last year. And I know I will never forget the electric atmosphere at Highmark Stadium when Nyheim Hines brought back the opening kickoff for a touchdown against the New England Patriots in the first game played after DeMar Hamlin suffered his cardiac arrest incident. In fact, Hines would go on to return two kicks for touchdowns that day. That, to me, seals your legacy as a, even if it was a one-year wonder, one-year phenomenon, as a Bills legend. It's natural for these moves to elicit emotions in Bills fans. And I have no doubt that it was not an easy day at the office for Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. But unfortunately, when you don't win now in the NFL, drastic changes happen. We saw that on Wednesday. The Buffalo Bills have been on the cusp of the Super Bowl ever since the 2020 season. But since that team advanced into the AFC title game, the Bills have failed to get over the hump, falling in the divisional round in each of the last 3 years, including crushing losses at home in the divisional round the last two seasons. After the playoff no-show loss versus the Cincinnati Bengals in the divisional round of the 2022 season, Brandon Bean doubled down, bringing back many of the same players who had both helped win another AFC East title, but had also suffered playoff losses in the past. I actually find it reassuring now that rather than running it back for the 2024 season with much of the same group intact, a group that has time and time again come up short in the playoffs, Brandon Bean opted for change. And granted, we all knew change was coming this offseason, especially with how cash-strapped the Buffalo Bills were, being $43 million over the cap space. The cuts on Wednesday were a difficult pill for Bills fans to swallow. But here's the thing. While those roster cuts were certainly not easy decisions for Buffalo's brass to make, they were the right moves. And in time, I feel the emotional trauma Bills fans felt over these cuts will be greater than the hit the team takes on the football field. Buffalo's Super Bowl window has not closed. I've said that many times before on this podcast, and I feel the need to reiterate that here once again. As long as number 17 is running wild and throwing the football all over the field for Buffalo, the Bills will always have a shot at winning the Super Bowl. In fact, the moves that Brandon Bean just made will actually help improve Buffalo's chances because it frees up valuable cap space while allowing the Bills to bring in players who can help this team get past Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the AFC. No matter how much we loved Mitch Morse, Jordan Poyer, and Trey White, those Bills rosters, as they were currently constituted, had a Kansas City Chiefs problem. Buffalo had gone as far as it was going to go with this roster. Change was needed, and kudos to Brandon Bean for taking the first steps towards retooling his roster, even if those steps caused Bills fans emotional trauma.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
The most shocking of those cuts was Mitch Morse, especially after, just days earlier, Bean had dealt away Ryan Bates, the presumed heir apparent at center in Buffalo. Morse had become an anchor on Buffalo's offensive line since his arrival 5 years ago. The Bills had finally assembled the best offensive line they've ever had in front of Josh Allen, and Morse was a huge part of that. His play did not drop off between the 2022 and 2023 seasons either. He has been a reliable, steady, and above-average player his entire time here in Buffalo. But the Bills had a goal of clearing cap space, and they didn't want to push too much of that bill towards future years like 25 and 26. After all, that's partly how we ended up with the Bills being in salary cap hell coming up in this offseason. So likely Morse was a cap casualty that they never wanted to make, but really did need to happen because the Bills didn't owe Morse any guaranteed money this season, and they're going to save $8.5 million by releasing him. That's a substantial chunk of change the team can use without having to tap into those future contract restructures on players like Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, and Tyler Bass. And those are deals that the Bills either will or might want to move on from next offseason. So why put yourself in a position to have more financial troubles moving forward? As great as Morse has been on the field, and there is no doubt he has been phenomenal, last year, in fact, Josh Allen had the fewest sacks suffered of his career. And since 2019, Morse was second on the team in his pass block win rate of nearly 95%. But as great as Morse has been on the field, it's really his impact in the locker room that will be sorely missed. Morse didn't just lead this offensive line, he led the whole team. The two-year captain was known as being the dad of the offensive line, and that really translated into someone the younger players could trust and lean on during the ups and downs of a season. In fact, many of the younger members of the offensive line, including left tackle Deion Dawkins, right tackle Spencer Brown, and right guard Osiris Torrance, give Morse a lot of credit for helping them grow both on and off the field. Morse indeed became an important figure in the locker room, one of those glue guys, and it will not be easy to replace his leadership. That, to me, is the biggest shocking part about Morse being cut, was how his play was still at a very high level, and he has been such an integral part of the leadership at One Bills Drive. In the short term, with the Bills trying to win a Super Bowl in the now, this is the move that's going to hurt the Bills most on the field. They're planning on moving left guard Connor McGovern to center and having David Edwards, who was brought back, start at the left guard position. Now, McGovern was definitely solid as the left guard, but he also graded out as the worst starter of the bunch. And the Bills are really hoping that he can play center like he did at Penn State, because remember, he only has 100 snaps or so at the center spot since joining the NFL. But to me, this is one of those moves that is going to hurt the most, with the on-field productivity of Mitch Morse having to be replaced. And now you're taking away from the left guard spot as well, hoping that David Edwards, who you're paying starter money, can step up and play big time at the left guard spot, while hoping that Connor McGovern can fill the huge shoes that Mitch Morse played here in Buffalo. That, to me, was the biggest shock of all the cuts, Mitch Morse being shown the door. But there were many other end-of-an-era moves that were made as well, and this includes the safety tandem of Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. This really, the news of Poyer being cut marks the end of an era of stability and productivity in Buffalo's secondary. For the last 7 years, Poyer, Hyde, and Trey White fueled one of the best secondaries in all of football. And now Buffalo is looking at replacing its entire starting safety tandem while also moving on from one of its fiery and emotional leaders in Trey White. With the team's release of Poyer, they're going to clear $5.72 million in cap space. That news, combined with Hyde being out of a contract and most likely leaning towards retirement, the Bills will likely have a pair of brand new starting safeties when the 2024 season begins. Poyer last offseason re-signed with the Buffalo Bills on a two-year deal to come back and anchor one of the most accomplished secondaries in all of football. Poyer started 16 games in the regular season last year after dealing with a variety of injuries during the 22 season. But his play dropped off last year from how he was earlier with his Buffalo Bills tenure. In fact, last year, Poyer allowed opponents to complete 73% of their passes thrown his way. That, to me, is the biggest reason the Bills were willing to move on from Jordan Poyer, was a drop in productivity. For his Bills career and for his NFL career, Poyer has had a really nice productive stint with 24 interceptions, 54 passes defended, 12 sacks, 9 forced fumbles, and more than 800 tackles. From 2021 to 2022 with the Bills, Poyer was a stout defender. He actually led the league in passer rating allowed as the nearest defender in coverage. Opponents completed less than 50% of their passes against him. Last year, though, like I said, Poyer's numbers dipped as the quarterbacks completed 73% of their passes thrown his way. And for any Bills fan who was paying attention this offseason, I think the writing was on the wall about Poyer's future in Western New York. Buffalo often spoke of Poyer in the past tense when discussing the impact of the Poyer-Hyde secondary tandem in Buffalo, especially during the team's season-ending news conference after the loss to the Chiefs. Last week, at the NFL scouting combine, the Bills once again did not commit to a future that included Poyer on their roster. And now the Bills made the move. They're going to cut Poyer and move on with their secondary and with their safeties. Taylor Rapp will be back, but the Bills still have a lot of work to do this offseason to shore up that safety position. And I know for me, it sure is going to be odd when the Bills take the field for the first time this fall and you're not able to see Poyer or Hyde together on the field for the first time since the McDermott-Bean regime began in 2017. And I mentioned earlier about Trey White, too. The writing was kind of on the wall for Trey White's departure. You know, he suffered that Achilles tear in the win over the Miami Dolphins in week 4, and many Bills fans were wondering whether that was the last time we would see White in a Bills uniform. Well, those fears turned out to be true, and now Buffalo has moved on from head coach Sean McDermott's first draft pick, Trey White. The Bills were forced to bring in more reinforcements at cornerback once White went down, trading for Rasul Douglas from the Green Bay Packers. And Douglas paid immediate dividends as one of the best deadline acquisitions this past season. Douglas's presence, combined with the emergence of Christian Benford and the big cap hit that White carried, really signified the end of Trey's time with the Bills, especially when you factor in that White has now suffered 2 significant season-ending injuries over the last 3 seasons, having torn his left ACL in that win on Thanksgiving Day in 2021 and tearing his Achilles 4 games into this season. It's really a shame that White's career had to come to an end because of an injury, because before these 2 setbacks, White had been extremely healthy, missing only 3 games and never having major surgery. White finishes his time with the Bills as a 2-time Pro Bowl selection and 1-time All-Pro in the 2019 season when he tied for the NFL lead with 6 interceptions. He caps his Bills time with 18 picks, 68 passes defended, 311 tackles, and 5 forced fumbles. And again, like I mentioned, White's release was a post-June 1st designation, which means the Bills save more in 2024 than they would have with a normal release. And they're going to save $10.21 million total, but those funds will not be available until June 1st. And again, along with those 3 starters in Morris, Poyer, and White, the Bills also parted ways with cornerback Saran Neal, wide receiver Deonte Hardy, and running back Nyheim Hines. The Bills will save again $2.88 million by moving on from Neal, $4.3 million from cutting Hardy, and $4.6 million from letting go of Hines. So with all the news out there, what do these moves mean? As we've talked about this on the podcast before, whenever a team kicks salary down the road, the bill always comes due. Always. And on Wednesday, Brandon Bean had to make these moves to pay Buffalo's bill. Being in this unenviable position of having to shed more than $40 million this offseason, it's not likely something Bean wants to go through again any offseason. And because of those roster decisions being so difficult, Bean thankfully has done much of the work to get the Bills to cap compliance and ready for free agency without having to push more money forward to the 2025 and 2026 cap figures. We all expect there, of course, to be at least one more major financial bit of news to come out of One Bills Drive. And that is, again, that cap restructure, that contract restructure for Josh Allen, which, from everything I've read, could free up to $23 million in cap space. As a result of these moves, the Bills now have gained breathing room with their salary situation for this year. And most importantly, they will preserve their financial health and well-being for 2025 and 2026. These were hard, difficult moves for the Bills to make. But again, like I said earlier, I feel like the emotional trauma the Bills fans are going through will indeed be worse than the on-field hit the Bills take by not having these players in 2024. What did you think, Bills Mafia? What was the most surprising move? Were there any other cuts you would have made to save the Buffalo Bills cap space? I want to hear from you on social media. Get involved with us on Twitter. I am at John Boccacino. Those have been my thoughts on the Buffalo Bills' wacky and wild moves on Wednesday. I want to hear from you as well. Thank you for indulging with me and my thoughts on, again, a crazy day in Buffalo Bills history and One Bills Drive with the six players being cut. I will definitely be thankful and grateful for Trey White, Jordan Poyer, and Mitch Morris and what they've meant to the Buffalo Bills franchise. For Jamie D'Amico, who is off this week again, I am John Boccacino signing off on the Bill Eve podcast.